Paul says back to 2 Corinthians 11 verse 3, he says, I'm afraid lest like the serpent, the devil, deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds should be led astray from the simple, pure devotion to Jesus Christ. That's why I started the message with Psalm 73:25. I'm afraid that the devil who deceived Eve by his craftiness, who told Eve, it's not serious, a small sin is not serious. You think God's worried about you're eating a little fruit from this tree? Surely. Don't you know God is a God of love? Don't you know that He overlooks mistakes? It's okay. It's not a sin, it's not a serious thing. And look how good it is. And just once, it won't matter once. Deceived. Deceived her. And, you know, for many years, I used to think, okay, the tree of knowledge of good and evil I can understand. That means to know what is good and what is evil. In other words, a life where I know what is good and evil, I don't have to consult God about it. Then that's what the devil was trying to get Eve to partake of. You know, if you get this knowledge of good and evil in you, you won't have to keep going referring to God every time, shall I do this, shall I not do this, shall I do this, shall I not do this. You won't have to. You'll be a little more independent of God. You won't be an evil person. Look around at the world at the atheists and non-Christians. There are a lot of very decent people in the world. I've known atheists who won't tell lies, won't cheat, are faithful to their wives, don't murder anybody, who more or less keep the Ten Commandments, don't worship idols. You know, they're good people. They have a knowledge of good and evil. But their knowledge is, they don't need God. They've got the knowledge resident within themselves. They say, why do I need God? I'm not like these murderers and thieves and adulterers. I'm living an upright life. That's exactly what Adam got and Eve got when they partook of that tree. And that's what the devil wants, because that doesn't look like evil, right? You look at these lot of decent people and say, what's wrong with them? And a lot of Christians even say, well, they'll go to heaven, right? What happened to Adam and Eve when they got the knowledge of good and evil? They were turned out of God's kingdom. That's what the devil wanted. We need to understand this. And then I used to think, what is the tree of life now? I never understood it fully till I read this verse. 2 Corinthians 11. The devil led Eve astray from the tree of life. What was the tree of life? Simple, pure devotion to Jesus Christ, to God. To love God with all your heart, soul, strength and mind. A verse that we can quote very glibly. But what does it mean? It means to say to Jesus, and today for us, this is the tree of life. To me, this is the tree of life. The devil led Eve astray, we can say, from the tree of life. And that tree of life is defined here as devotion to Jesus Christ. Simple, pure devotion to Christ. It is to turn to Jesus and say, Lord, I desire nothing on this earth but You. And when I get to heaven, I desire no one but You. I'm not looking for the golden streets or the pearly gates or mansions. What'll I do with a 10-bedroom mansion in heaven? Is that what you're looking forward to? You know, we sing in that song, I'm satisfied with a little cottage below, but I've got a mansion over the hilltop. Is that what you're looking forward to? I'll tell you honestly, I'm not interested in a 10-bedroom mansion in heaven. You can have it if you want, even if God gives it to me. That's not what I'm interested in. What are you looking for? Crowns? Going around with crowns in heaven? How many crowns? 4, 5, one on top of each other? Is that what you're looking forward to? Or some others say, well, I'll be finished with all this sickness and the problems I have here. I'll tell you honestly, My relationship with Christ has come to this place where I say, Lord, I'm willing to be sick for all eternity if I can be with you. I desire nothing in heaven but you. I don't even desire hell. I once said to the Lord, Lord, I'm ready to go to hell if you're there. That'll be heaven for me. I desire nothing in heaven but you. I don't know who this guy Asaph was who wrote that, you know, Psalm 73. It wasn't David. But he must have known the Lord in an amazing way to write a verse like that. I've tried to find a better verse than that that defines worship. I haven't been able to find it. Where I desire nothing on earth and nothing in heaven but Jesus Christ and God. That's all. There's a beautiful hymn which you've probably sung here called, My God, how wonderful thou art, thy majesty, how bright. It's a hymn of worship. And in the last verse of it, it says, Father of Jesus, love's reward, what rapture it'll be, prostrate before thy throne to lie and gaze on thee. People say, won't that be boring just to gaze upon God? Have you seen true lovers, how they keep looking at each other, into each other's eyes? You ask them, isn't it boring constantly looking at your wife like that? Well, those are fed up with their wives. I suppose it is boring. Those are fed up with their husbands. It is boring, I suppose. But when you really love Jesus, it's not going to be boring. I don't think so. I'm looking forward to the day when I see him face to face and I can... I don't think I'll have eyes for anybody else. Like we sing in that song, I want to see my Savior first of all. When I get to heaven, I shall know him. I shall know him by the print of the nails in his hands. I shall know him. So he says, the devil led Eve astray from that simple, pure devotion to Christ. That was Paul's prescription to the Corinthian Christians to mature. See, if you want to become mature, you better develop a simple, pure devotion to Christ. Everything else will flow out from that. When you read scriptures, don't study the scripture to get knowledge. Don't study the scripture to preach sermons. But look into the scriptures and let the Holy Spirit show you the beauty of Jesus there. God has given us His Word to show us the beauty of Jesus Christ. And as you see the beauty of Jesus there, you'll be drawn to Him. You'll love Him. We need a stimulus for our love, for to be fervent in our devotion to Christ. And the first stimulus for that love for Christ is what's mentioned in 1 John 4 and verse 19. We love because He first loved us. So, 1 John 4:19, we love Him because He first loved us. So, if you don't love the Lord more, the reason must be that you haven't understood how much He loved you. We all know the verse, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. We'll all say Jesus loves us and all that and God loves us. But maybe you don't know how much He did, how much that love is. Perhaps we have not meditated enough on the cross. We must go beyond the little baby knowledge of Jesus where you think of His suffering, His nails and His whipping and weep because we think of that, and to go a deeper understanding of the cross where we see that that was not the worst part of His suffering. The worst part of His suffering was when for 3 hours on the cross the Father forsook Him for my sake. That's the love we need to see, that He forsook Him. And then for 3 hours on the cross, Jesus experienced the hell that I should experience for eternity. That's the worst part of the cross. When I was a, Paul said, when I was a child, I thought like a child. When I grew up, I put away childish things. So when I was a child, I understood Jesus, the physical suffering of it. That's what really moved my heart to tears and all that. But I found something that even after I was moved to tears, thinking about the, you know, cross, Jesus being crucified, I'd still go back and live the next week the same old way I lived before. Didn't make much of a difference in my life. Until I began to see that the cross was more than physical suffering. It was, you see, the punishment for my sin is not physical suffering. The punishment for my sin is not physical death. And if that is all that Jesus went through on the cross, then He did not take my punishment. The punishment for my sin is nothing less than eternal hell. And if Jesus did not take that on the cross, then He has not taken my punishment. But He did take it. The horrors of an eternal hell were concentrated into 3 hours on the cross. And He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? That was an agony which we will never experience, and we'll never know even a little bit of what it meant till we get to heaven and see Him face to face. But, you know, the Holy Spirit reveals to us